So I am going to call up Pastor Jaron. He is our guest speaker today. He's going to give the word. So he is one of the pastors at Wapsnagwatam. And he's coming and taking his time to speak to us today. So thank you.
Well, I'm not taking my time. I'm on a time limit. I want to take my time. I haven't spoken here in a long time. Last time I spoke here, the ceiling wasn't black. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning. Unless you didn't bring one, then don't feel bad. To Ephesians chapter 3. How many of you know that God loves you? Okay, just a few of you. That's good. How many of you know that you're not perfect? Oh, more hands went up for that. Now let me say it this way. How many of you know that God still loves you? This is church. A gathering of imperfect people pursuing a relationship with a perfect God. I'm actually not interested in talking about how imperfect we are. Just wanted to get to your attention. Rather, I'd prefer to talk about the love of God. The immense love of God. We are called as the church to make known the manifold wisdom of God, and that can only happen if we first know Him. Let me pray. Father in heaven, You are so worthy of the praise we've already offered, and even more. And God, as we look into your word this morning, I ask that you would speak to our hearts beyond our ears, beyond our capacity to understand. You would speak to our hearts. And God, I pray that my mouth would only speak your words and nothing more. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 3. I called my message this morning Inside Out Love. That's why it's on the screen. Wasn't an accident. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Our passage today begins with the words, for this reason. Because Paul is motivated to pray for them because of what he has already mentioned earlier in the epistle. He has told them that the church serves the purpose of being a light for the world to see the goodness of God. Paul is also probably in prison or in some kind of trouble, and he's praying that the church in Ephesus wouldn't have to focus on that. Because of his circumstances, they'd rather they focus on God. We are to be beacons of light in the world. We are to direct the world's attention to God. If that is our purpose, we must first encounter God. Because otherwise we won't understand what it is we are to draw attention to. Paul's prayer for the church is that they would have the capacity to understand the magnitude of the love of God. When Jesus commands his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples, he's already demonstrated the love of God to them. Until you understand the love of God, you will have a difficult time bringing people to him. It's going to be hard for you to bring anybody to church if you don't understand God and if you don't understand his love. When you think that the love of God is for them because of where they are in their lives, you don't understand the love of God. When you understand that the love of God is for you and for what you did, and it's all about changing your life, you will make disciples no matter what, just not disciples of Jesus, unless you understand the love of God. In this passage of Scripture, there are three things. I laugh when I say those words, because I went to school and they taught you to have three things. There are three things that Paul prays that we need to heed if we are also, if we are to fulfill our purpose in this city and in this world. In praying for the church, he calls on God to act out of his glorious riches. Did you catch that line? Out of his glorious riches. It's coming out of God's abundance. Our blessing, our empowering is coming out of God's abundance. It isn't something you earn. It isn't something you qualify for. It certainly isn't something you deserve, but it comes out of God's abundance. He has more than enough to give. Paul prays that we would be strengthened. Strengthened. I shouldn't be this nervous on this stage. Been here before. Paul prays that we would be strengthened. And he prays that we'd be strengthened with power through his Spirit. I'm curious because I didn't make these slides. I don't want to see how they come out. With power through his Spirit in our inner being. That is to say that if you're going to ever show anything to anybody in the world, if God is ever going to do anything in your life, it starts inside first. That's why I called it inside out love. It starts in your inner being. Paul says, I pray that God would strengthen you with power in your inner being, all the way down inside. Not just your thoughts, not just your mind, not just the knowledge that Jesus died for you, all the way down to your heart so you feel like he's your Savior, so you know that God loves you, all the way down there. I pray that you'd be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. So that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Not just visiting like you do church. He would dwell in your heart. I pray that Christ would dwell. This is the thing that will root you and establish you in love. If Christ dwells in your heart, you will be rooted and established in love. Which is what he says in the next verse. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love. You have let Christ dwell inside. You have let Christ dwell in your heart. He's in there. The love of God is in there. So now that you're rooted and established in love, that brings to the next point. Paul prays that you would be empowered. Don't get there before I get there. you'd be empowered. I've only got 3 points, so I can't mess you up now. There's only one left. That you would be empowered along with all the Lord's holy people. I said in church. You'd be empowered in church. Not in church like in this room, although there's an application for that, and we're going to talk about that. But you would be empowered as the church, the body of Christ, in a family. You'd be empowered in church with other people to grasp. Man. Paul doesn't just pray that you'd know the love of God. He goes so far as to say, I pray that you'd be empowered by the Spirit of God to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God. I pray that you'd be empowered to grasp the love of God. His love is wide enough to stretch the whole valley that you walk through. The width of the valley can be encompassed with his love. His love is long enough to stay with you through the journey as you go along life, every step of the way, whether you be in a valley or climbing a mountain or descending the mountain or at the mountaintop, wherever you find yourself in your journey. Oh, that's a sermon all by itself. You are somewhere in there on a valley, on a mountain, or climbing or descending, but you're somewhere in there, and no matter where you are, his love is wide enough to be in the valley with you, long enough to stick with you through the journey, high enough to go all the way to the top of the mountain with you, and deep enough to go, even if you end up in the depths of the sea, his love is there with you. God's love is enough to go wherever you go. And this is the part that I'm nervous about, but I'm going to illustrate it this way anyway because I'm leaving the stage, and that's always scary when a pastor leaves the stage. God's love is wide enough to go across every distinction of people, every group, every subgroup. Everybody knows a church is full of cliques, but God's love is big enough to stretch all the way across and encompass everybody that sits from this side all the way to that side. God's love is long enough to go all the way through the congregation and reach its way to the back rows where the people who hoped they could slip in unnoticed are still encompassed by the love of God. God's love is high enough that no matter where you find yourself, even if you chose to go all the way up here, it's hard to preach and climb stairs. And you chose to sit up here for whatever reason you did. God's love is high enough to reach all the way to the top of the balcony. I'm not going all the way to the top. God's love is enough to stretch wherever you are. Doesn't matter how wide and how long and how high. This entire room is filled with the love of God. Oh, that's exhausting. It's because I should be in the gym more than I am. God's love, don't worry, I didn't forget about it, is deep. It means that those clothes that you chose to wear this morning that I spent way too much time picking out don't matter to the love of God. That means that his love is wide enough to fill this room, long enough and high enough and deep enough that no matter who you are or where you are in your journey, God's love has the capacity to reach you. It isn't going to miss you. You can't go so far away from God that he can't find you. The psalmist writes that even if I make my bed in the depths of hell, he'll be there. The psalmist was writing that in the context that you can never get away from the love of God. Good luck trying. He'll find you. Regardless, he'll already be there. Oh, I thought I could escape the love of God. I pray that you'd be empowered to grasp, I'm yelling more than usual, to grasp how wide and how long and how deep, or excuse me, high, boy, I practiced this, and deep is the love of God. that you'd be able to grasp. You mean I need the Spirit of God just to understand how much God loves me? How appropriate that God gave me this word for a communion Sunday. He gave me this word so long ago for you. And he had to orchestrate things the way he did so I could be here on communion Sunday. So a few times during the service already, I've been sitting there shaking my head, not in disapproval of Pastor Rachel, not at all. Because I am dumbfounded at the amazing sovereignty of God. I love it when God sits there and shows me his hand. Because he gave this word a long time ago. It's easy for me to wonder if maybe I just was stubborn. Like, I ain't writing nothing new. This was for them. I knew it was for you. And I sit here this morning and see God's speaking already through different parts of the service. Little bits that come out here and there. People not realizing that their words are so true to what God has put in here. I pray that you'd be empowered. And thirdly, then, I pray that you'd be filled. Now you can go there. Oh, you're so slow. I pray that you'd be filled. Only because it's you. I pray that you'd be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I like Paul's prayer. I think anybody else in his ministry position would have just prayed about, you know, I pray that you'd experience God like we all do in church. We're good at Christian words like, I pray that you'd be filled with the Spirit, that you'd encounter his love. I pray that your life would be changed. He says, I pray that you'd be filled according to all the fullness of God. Out of his glorious riches, you'd be filled to his fullness. Good thing, because my fullness is pathetic. But God will fill me according to his fullness. Do you know why that's significant? Do you know why that's amazing? It's because every person in this room has the capacity to be full, and God will not be any less God or have any less love. All the fullness of God could fill every one of us all the way and overflow so that all the empty chairs get touched with the love of God too, so that when that person comes in visiting, hoping that they will just, you know, come in and go out and not have a change because they didn't really want to come to church, but they got here anyway, and they sit in that chair that spilled over from your love that was empowering in you, and they get touched by the love of Jesus just because they were here. That's how it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to have to yell, and some of you wish I wouldn't. You're supposed to be able to come into this room and experience the love of God. What's the sign hanging over the door? It used to. I didn't look to see if it's still there. Sanctuary. Some people say we should take it down because that's such an old term. I don't know about you, but I thought this was always supposed to be a sanctuary from the things of life, where we come in and are safe in the presence of God. I thought that's what this was supposed to be, a room where we could come in to where God would speak to us and we were safe to be here. That's sanctuary. I escape everything that's been going on for just a moment and experience the love of God. I know the love of God goes outside of this room. I hope you know that. But it serves as a wonderful illustration for you to see that it fills this whole room. I pray that you'd be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge. That we would know this love that surpasses knowledge. How do I know what surpasses knowledge? Paul is asking for something that we can't even grasp, wrap our heads around. That's why he asked that the Spirit would be involved. That we would know this love that surpasses knowledge. If we want our churches filled, we must first be filled. God, I want to see more people show up. God, I want to see my neighbors come. God, I want to see my family in this house. God, I want to see my grandkids or whatever your prayer might be, my nieces, my nephews, whatever it is, my cousins. I don't care what your prayer is, my coworkers, my parents. God, I want to see this place abounding with people. If ever that was a prayer of yours, and maybe you don't care so much if this room is full, but you got somebody in your life that you just wish would get their life right, would pay attention to the love of Jesus, would be so radically changed like you were by his amazing grace. If you've ever had that as a prayer, you must first say, God, I need to be full of your love and radically changed in my innermost being by the presence of God. I need to be changed. Spirit of God, work on my heart. Make me so annoying with your love that they'll just come to church to get me off their case. But because we've prayed over the empty chair, they won't have anywhere to go in here to escape the love of God.
That sounds devious. Just come to church. Why? Just come to church. Don't worry about it.
I pray that you would be strengthened. I pray that you would be empowered. I pray that you would be filled. These three things, Paul prays. Hey, I did pretty good. I even ran around the church. I'm also not done, so. These three things Paul prays. And they are great and magnificent things. And then he adds, and I didn't read this earlier. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We pause there. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. How does he do more than all the fullness of God? How does he do more? We come to God. We come in prayer to God and we ask him for great and mighty things. We ask him for salvation. We ask him for repentance. Do you understand how that is? God, I'm rotten. And I want you to forgive me. And we have that boldness because of the same Spirit that is empowering us to understand his love. And so we know that God's love will allow us to go before his throne, the very throne of the King of Kings, and say, I messed up. Forgive me. We go to God. We ask him for amazing things like fill me with the capacity to understand your love. And then Paul says, do immeasurably more. Here's why Paul prays that. Because even when we ask God for amazing things, we imagine what the fullness of God is going to be like. We imagine what the goodness of God really feels like. We imagine in our hearts and in our minds, God, I'm asking you for this. And you start imagining all the people you like getting saved and coming into church. All those coworkers that you think would be a benefit to this congregation. But then you start seeing people you don't like getting saved and you wish they would have gone to another church, but God got a hold of their heart anyway and he put them in a church and he sat them right next to you and you worship beside each other and they don't sing well, but God put them beside you. Because you had an imagination that said God can do this, but you didn't realize God likes the people you don't like. You forgot that God loves everybody. You forgot that it doesn't matter what they did, and it really doesn't matter what they did. God still loves them. God is the only one in our churches that doesn't need people to change before they get here.
I feel like a guest speaker when I say things like that. I said our churches.
God's the one that wants to see. It doesn't matter where you're at. He knows you can't change you. He wants to be a part of that process.
To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. God, I asked you to do this. God says, I'm going to do more. I'm going to go above and beyond. I'm going to do more. God, I want this place full. God, I want a pastor. God, I want to see this place filled, and God fills it twice. It's not what I asked for, God. Now you created two services for me to have to run. It's not what I asked for, God. It's hard enough doing one, right? You can say yes. If anybody didn't know that, you just need to tell them how hard it is. There's a reason why my day off is Monday. I finish my weekend, I'm like, forget this, I'm sleeping in. It was ridiculous. I had to see people. It's exhausting. Smile and shake hands. Don't worry, I was called to be a pastor, that's true. To him be the glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. When God does immeasurably more, it brings you to your knees. You are worthy of it all. The old church chorus, I exalt thee, brings you to your knees. God, I lift your name. I worship you and I praise you. If you've ever gotten to a place in your church experience where worship is boring, it's not Pete's fault. Or anybody else that leads worship here. Some people are like, yes, it is. Not Pete's fault. You have forgotten all that God has done for you. You have forgotten just how much his grace and his love means to you. It isn't ever to be boring. I love music. I'm a musician. I get nitpicky. When they're off on a tempo, I'm a drummer, so goodness. Like, pick it up, people. You're slowing the song down. Or, not today. Or when you're... You did say you were imperfect and going to lead an imperfect set, so you did a great... No, I'm just kidding. But I have to check myself and say, God, it doesn't matter. None of that part matters. You, God, are the reason we're even here, and our worship is directed to you, and they're just serving you and helping us to achieve this connection with you. So, God, I remember what you did. I remember that I'm more imperfect than they are, and maybe that's not true. Who knows? But you need to recognize your own condition. Just stop being about everybody else. The only thing that you're supposed to care about in everybody else is to love them. That's it.
You deal with your salvation. You deal with yourself as far as it's concerning that. You just love them. And so here you are in a place of worship. When Jesus encounters Peter and they're fishing, and one of the Gospels records this. I don't remember which one, so whatever. But it says there in the scripture somewhere. I'm just kidding. It's my favorite line. I love that line. It's in that's in Hebrews. But anyway, and Peter pulls in the fish, and it's a miraculous catch. And the scripture says that he falls to his knees and says, "Depart from me. I'm not worthy." When you encounter the pure and perfect love of God, it needs to bring you to a posture of, "I don't deserve to be here." And I'd kneel, but then I'd never get up. I am so out of shape. I just climbed the stairs. I'm done. God, I don't even deserve to be here. Why do I get to be in your house? Why do you love me? I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but when I go to God in repentance, the thing he almost always says is, "I love you." That's it. Because that moves me every time. God, I'm so sorry. I let this job get in my head again. I love you. Oh, I still love you. When you've encountered the fullness of the love of God, when you've come to know this love that surpasses knowledge, the natural response is one of worship. We did it backwards today. Did you notice how many of our songs were about the love of God? I don't know if Pete knew what I was speaking on. I didn't tell anybody till yesterday morning, so it isn't likely. Love it when God does that. I actually personally, when people say, "What are you speaking on?" I'm like, "The scriptures." Because I would rather that they just listen to the Lord themselves, but, you know, I cooperate. I love it when God speaks through that. We worshiped him this morning for his love, for his goodness, for his glory. Let me close my portion in prayer because it just feels like I need to. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your spirit that lets us understand your love. I pray that every person here has, even if it's just in this last song, has an understanding of your love. Would you speak even still as we finish this morning out? In Jesus' name, amen.